Well, I think I misstated it at first this morning in the lesson. I think I said, wrongly, that on average, men speak more words than women in a given day. That's not the average man. The average man doesn't talk very much. One of our nice ladies tonight said that she had used up all of her words so far today, and she asked, what should she do if she used up all of her words already? I said, borrow some from your husband. He hasn't used all of his yet. That's the way that that goes. But as you think about how many words we use, and the number that was used this morning is that depending on what study you look at, on average, the average person speaks about 16,000 words per day. I don't know if you think you speak more than that or if you speak less than that. On average, they say we have about 30 conversations per day. I don't know how many conversations you think you have. I guess it depends on how many people call you to try to sell you extended warranty on your car to see how many conversations you're going to have during the day. But the interesting thing to me is you have all of these studies about how many words an individual might speak in a given day. But I have not seen, and I looked some up today and found them, but I had not seen as many studies about how many words does the average person hear in a given day. We seem more concerned about how much we talk than how much we hear, and maybe that's why we think there's more studies on it. But it was suggested in one study that while we might speak as on the average of about 16,000 words per day, we hear, on the other hand, about 30,000 words per day. And then somebody looked at that number and said, no, that's probably not big enough. It's more like maybe we hear about 100,000 words per day. I don't know how many words we hear every day. And of course, that depends on how many people you're around. Some of you are working from home these days and not going into the office, and so you're not around as many people to have as many conversations. Of course, some of you have the television all day on all day long, and you think those are words that you're hearing and processing all of the time. But here's our focus for this morning's lesson and for tonight's lesson. And if you're here tonight, this is part two of a lesson that we began this morning that recognized the fact that we have a responsibility for both the words that we speak, that's what we talked about this morning, and tonight for the words that we hear. We have a responsibility in our conversations that we have on a daily basis, to make sure that what we say and what we hear is as much filled with wise counsel as is possible. And so this morning we went to the book of Proverbs, and that's where we're going to go tonight. We're just going to park ourselves in the book of Proverbs, and I would encourage you to turn your Bibles there, and we're going to look at a number of passages there tonight, just as we looked at a number of passages there this morning. And this morning we talked about the fact that we have a responsibility in the conversations in which we engage, whatever conversations those are, and some conversations are more important than others. Some of them are more significant, more weightier, and that kind of thing than others. But we have a responsibility that if we are talking to someone, especially if someone has asked for our advice, someone has asked for our counsel, to make sure that that is wise counsel. And we had a number of things that we discussed along that regard this morning. But as you read through the book of Proverbs, there's not only an emphasis on making sure that what we speak is saturated with wise counsel, but what about what we hear? The receiving. On the receiving end, the book of Proverbs has almost and maybe more to say about what we receive and what we hear on a daily basis. And so what I want us to do is to allow the book of Proverbs to do some teaching for us tonight. We mentioned this morning that the word word or words is found about 46 times in the book of Proverbs. The word tongue or mouth or lips is found 113 times in this book. That's a lot of times. It has a lot to say about what we speak. But when you also turn to this book, you find a number of other words used frequently. You find the word listen found about 10 or more times. You find the word hear or other forms of that word found about 15 times. You hear the word give it, you read the word give attention, or incline your ear, or just the word ear by itself. You read that over 20 times. What does that indicate? We've got a responsibility for what we hear to make sure that what we have coming in goes through some filters, goes through some things to evaluate those things that we hear in order that we might process them in the very best way possible. So, as we think about wise counsel tonight, as we think about receiving it, that's the focus of tonight's lesson. The first thing that we're going to start with is where we started this morning. We said on the giving of wise counsel this morning that we need to keep it biblical. Well, guess what? On the receiving end, we need to seek biblical counsel. We need to seek that kind of counsel that is biblically saturated, biblically sound in what we are hearing. And we put here the same verse that we put at the beginning of that point this morning. In chapter 21 and verse 30, book of Proverbs, it says, "There is no wisdom, there's no understanding, there's no counsel that can succeed against the Lord." The kind of counsel, the kind of wisdom that I ought to want to hear is the kind that goes, that coincides with whatever the Lord's counsel would have me to hear. And so I want you to think about it, and these next several points are going to overlap in a lot of ways, but I want you to see how much the book of Proverbs discusses this particular point. The book of Proverbs indicates that all that we seek when it comes to counsel, all the counsel that we seek and all the counsel that we accept, it should be from the Lord. In chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "From the Lord, for the Lord gives wisdom." Where does wisdom come from? "For the Lord gives wisdom." Where does it come from? "From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." Obviously, from when we pick up the Bible, the Lord gives wisdom. When we pick up the Bible, His mouth gives us knowledge and understanding. "God stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk uprightly." I need to turn to the Word of God and allow what I hear from others to go through that filter. Is what I'm hearing what the Lord has to say? And make sure that's my first and foremost desire. What I hear needs to go through the filter and say, okay, this is what somebody's saying to me. Here's what somebody is telling me. Does this honor God? If I were to follow this person's counsel, would I be honoring God? If I were to follow this person's counsel, would I be true to the Word of God? Over in chapter 13, in verse 13, it says, "He who fears the commandment, he who fears the commandment will be rewarded." So if somebody's speaking to me and giving me some advice about life, if I follow what they say, would I be true to what God says? Maybe one verse you know, especially in the book of Proverbs, is in chapter 23, verse 23, that says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." When somebody's talking to me, am I interested in, is this person telling me the truth? Sometimes we just absorb and we take whatever somebody is telling us. By the way, and mostly what we're talking about this morning and tonight is talking about interpersonal communication. But Proverbs 23:23, that applies even to stuff you hear on television and stuff you read on the internet. Buy the truth. That's all we need to be looking, not just be swallowing everything that we hear, but buy the truth and do not sell it. And then the verse goes on and says, "Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." That needs to be our focus as children of God. We need to run what we hear through that filter to see, is this truly the counsel of the Lord? In chapter 19 and verse 21, it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that is what will stand." Whatever else we might hear in life, whatever else somebody might tell us, we need to see, is what they're telling me, is it true to what God would have me to do and what God would have me to follow? And striving never to blindly follow the inclinations of my own heart. The first part of that verse, chapter 19, verse 21, the end of the verse is where it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." The first part of the verse says, "There are many plans in a man's heart." There's many things that we want to do. There's many things, many thoughts that we have. But that verse, it finishes up by saying, I need to take my plans, I need to take my thoughts and see, do they coincide with what God would have me to do? One of the passages, maybe the passage you know the best in this book, is chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Where it says, "Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, and lean not on what? Lean not on the Lord? No. Lean not on your own understanding. Is there a difference between trusting in the Lord and trusting in myself? The Bible makes that abundantly clear throughout the book of Proverbs and in other places in Scripture. And so we need to be striving to run everything we hear through this filter of, is what I'm hearing biblically sound? Is it true to the Word of God? If I follow this, am I following the counsel of God? Or is it just me following the inclinations of my heart? And so we need to always measure what we are hearing from human counsel against that which is divine counsel. The verse that was read from chapter 4 this morning, the end of the chapter, in chapter 4, verse 27, it tells us, do not turn to the right or to the left. Does that remind you of verses in other places of the Bible that tell you not to add to or take away from God's Word? Here's a verse that says, when we hear some human counsel, we need to see, does this line up with heaven's counsel? Would this help me to be true without turning to the right, without turning to the left? In chapter 30, verses 5 and 6, it says, every word of God is pure. Think about that. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words. If I follow what somebody tells me to do, will I be adding to what God says? That's important for anybody to think about. What about our religious friends? What if our religious friends, and not excluding ourselves, what if on a religious level, what if when somebody's standing and preaching the Word of God and we hear somebody talking about the Word of God, what if we ran that through the filter of, if I follow what they say, if I obey what this person tells me to do, would I be adding to what God says? Would I be leaving something out of what God says? But the final thing I want us to see on this point of making sure that what we're hearing is biblically sound is that if I were to follow this, would this be leading me down the right path? I must always consider where something is going to take me if I follow what somebody says. In chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, it says, my son, do not walk in the way with them, the ungodly. Keep your foot from their path. Don't walk down the path of the ungodly. Well, what happens if you walk down the path with the ungodly? You're going to end up in a place you don't need to be. Verse 16 says, for their feet run to evil. If you follow down this path with them, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. In chapter 2, starting about verse 18, talks about this immoral woman, and if you follow after her, but think about these words in chapter 2, verse 18. For her house, if you follow down this road, her house leads down to death. And her paths, if you follow down those paths, lead to the dead. None who go to her return. You can't come back. Nor do they regain the paths of life. If I follow the advice that somebody is giving me, sometimes we look at the here and now. Sometimes we look at, yeah, that sounds good, because if I do that, then this is what will happen. I'll get this, and I'll feel satisfied right now. But it's not just the right now I need to be concerned about. Biblically sound means I'm filtering it all through all of these things, but I also need to look down the road. Where could this lead me? If I follow this counsel, where could this counsel take me? Would it take me closer to God? Or could it possibly take me away from God? Had an elder from another congregation call me a while back, and just he said, I need to run something by you. Just want to get your opinion about this, and said, we're talking about something here, and if we did this, what would you think about this? And one of the things we discussed in that conversation is, if you'd take this step, where would that possibly lead you? It may seem insignificant, it may seem innocent at this moment, but if you take this particular step, where could that, if what one step could lead to another step, could lead to another step, and where could that lead you as a congregation? Where could that lead me as an individual? I've got to hear what somebody says, not just so that I can say here and now that makes sense and I want to do it, but where could that possibly take me? First thing I need to do when somebody's talking to me and giving me some advice about life is to seek only for that which is biblically sound counsel. The second thing I want us to talk about and see from the book of Proverbs tonight is that I need to seek counsel from those people who have proven wisdom. Not just I think they've got wisdom, but as you read through the book of Proverbs, there's a proven wisdom about these individuals. That involves seeking knowledge from them, but not just seeking knowledge. That involves trying to seek wisdom from somebody else. In Proverbs chapter 8, beginning of verse 8, it says, all the words, this is wisdom talking. And here's something to do when you read through the book of Proverbs is try to figure out who's talking. So sometimes in the passage that Darren read tonight, was talking about wisdom, and in these early chapters of the book of the Proverbs, is talking about wisdom. But sometimes wisdom is personified, and wisdom starts talking. Or sometimes you'll read the word her or she, and you think, who's the her or the she? I didn't know we were talking about a woman here. Is talking about wisdom. So try to figure out who's talking or who's being spoken about. So that's who's talking. Is wisdom is personified in Proverbs 8 and verse 8. So wisdom is saying, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. If you follow true wisdom, nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to the one who understands and right to the ones who find knowledge. Wisdom is that which we ought to seek from someone else, not just to hear what knowledge they have, but to seek those who have experienced certain things in life, who maybe have made mistakes where we have made mistakes or have faltered where we are headed, and they are able to share with us some real life experience and wisdom. But obviously the individuals that we need to be listening to are those who are righteous. We're going to talk more about this in just a minute. But in Proverbs chapter 10, I like this, in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20. Proverbs 10 and verse 20, it says, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Would you think about those words? When you listen to what somebody who is righteous has to say, have you noticed this? It is like choice silver. It's better than anything. It's choice silver. And he, the heart of the wicked, I missed where I was in the verse. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked, that's worth little. Don't listen to the wicked, that's not worth anything. But you listen to the righteous, it's like choice silver. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed or nourish many. Have you ever sat at the feet of someone and just wanted to absorb all that they could tell you about life, about the Bible, about experiences that they had had? One of the things that I've enjoyed in life is just sitting and talking with Joe Holland, a man who served as an elder in this church for more than 4 decades, and just allow Joe Holland tell me about experiences in his life, to learn, and you think about that, and you think, boy, you know, here's somebody who's 80 lots of years, and you know, what does this person have to offer me? They're the older generation, they're out of touch. No. Listen to the righteous ones and what they have to tell you about life. And those are the individuals that we ought to be seeking, those who have proven wisdom, and instead, we ought to listen to them instead of listening to those who are worldly, instead of listening to those who are perverse. Back in chapter 2, in verse 12, it says, again, and this is talking, the emphasis here is about wisdom, to deliver you from the way of evil. Wisdom is there to deliver you from the way of evil, chapter 2 and verse 12. Wisdom is there to deliver you from the man who speaks perverse things. Wisdom is there that from those, he could deliver you from those who leave the paths of uprightness, from those who walk in the ways of darkness, from those who do evil in verse 14, to those who practice perversity of life, to those in verse 15 who are crooked and devious in their paths. If we seek true wisdom, it will help us to not follow after those. And think about all the words in that text. Those who are evil, those who are perverse, those who are walking in darkness, those who are following a crooked lifestyle. That's not the path we need to go. We looked in Proverbs chapter 6 this morning, warning us about making sure that the words that we speak do not sow discord. But think about Proverbs 6 and verse 19 in regard to what about the words that I hear? Do I need to run the words that I hear through the filter of, is this something that could cause discord? If I practice what this person is trying to get me to do, would that cause division? Would it bring about division in the church? That's, God hates those who sow discord among brethren. I need to be mindful of that. What's interesting, I love this passage over in chapter 25 in verse 9. It's kind of graphic chapter 25 and verse 19, where it says, confidence, if you put your confidence in an unfaithful person, if you follow after what an unfaithful person tells you, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. You ever had a bad tooth? You ever had a foot that didn't work right? That's like putting confidence in an unfaithful person in time of trouble. Is that a bad deal? I don't need to follow somebody who's going to lead me astray from where I need to be. So I need to listen to those who are righteous. And from those that don't have something to offer me that's biblically sound, I don't need to take their advice. I don't need to listen to what they are saying. I need to do a couple with that, what the book of Proverbs talks about refusing to hear any kind of slander. Refusing to hear someone sharing with me somebody else's secrets. We mentioned this morning how often the book of Proverbs mentions this. And I've got more verses on the screen than what we're going to look at. And there's more than this. We had some other verses on the screen this morning to talk about how often the book of Proverbs talks about this. But sometimes we think about slander. Sometimes we think about, gossip. Sometimes we think about sharing secrets and telling things we shouldn't tell. But sometimes we think about that I shouldn't say it. But what about not hearing it? What about when somebody brings that to me? I think it's in Psalm 15, another text. I think it's in Psalm 15, maybe around verses 3 or 4, where it talks about taking something up, taking up a story, taking up a piece of information and carrying it along. I don't need to take it up. I don't need to hear it. And so in chapter 10, in verse 18, whoever hides hatred has lying lips. Whoever spreads slander is a fool. In chapter 11, in verse 13, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals matters. Over in chapter 20, I know there's some other verses on the screen, but in chapter 20, in verse 19, it says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. I don't need to be around them. I don't need to listen to them. If somebody comes along and says, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? Have you heard what so-and-so said? We ought to stick our fingers in our ears and say, I'm not interested in that. I don't want to associate with that. I don't want to be a part of that. In chapter 26, starting in verse 20, think about the graphic nature of this in chapter 26 and verse 20. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. If somebody comes over and says, hey, I want to tell you, I want to share a secret with you. You know, don't tell this to anybody else. Well, guess where they heard it? They heard it from somebody else who said, I'm going to tell, but don't tell anybody else. And now they've come to you to share it, but don't tell anybody else. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Guess what you need to be? The one who has no wood, so that the fire will go out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. I need to be the one who doesn't have any wood in the fire. Don't want to hear it. Don't involve me. That is not my business. When you think about not just the speaking of it, but when you think about the hearing of it, we need to seek counsel from people of proven wisdom, and we don't need to hear what somebody else is going to tell us about somebody else. We need to listen to individuals who would have our best interests at heart. In chapter 27 and verse 9, for you oil ladies, here's a verse for you. Chapter 27 and verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart. There you go, there's your diffuser there. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness, the pleasantness of a man's friend gives delight by a hearty or a heartfelt counsel. Here's somebody who has your best interests at heart. Those are the individuals, and we're going to talk about this more in just a minute. Somebody who has your best interests at heart may not necessarily be the person who tells you what you want to hear. Sometimes we think, you know, you can't be my friend if you're going to say that kind of thing to me. Well, hang on. We're going to talk more about that. I don't want to jump ahead. But the person who has our best interest at heart may not be the person who always tells us what we want to hear. Maybe somebody else. Those are the people that we need to listen to, the people who have proven wisdom, who obviously have our best interest at heart. And the last thing I want us to see on this is that we need to seek counsel from others in order that we ourselves might become wise. It may be one day, and I know some of you are there, it may be one day that individuals come to us and are seeking wise counsel from us. Wouldn't it be nice if we had gobbled up that wise counsel earlier in our life? Wouldn't it be nice, chapter 10 and verse 14, if we were the ones who were storing up that knowledge and storing up that counsel that we had received over the years from individuals like a Joe Holland or others, and say, those are things that I need to remember in order to share with others. Wise counsel is something I need to be able to give. But wise counsel is something I need to make sure I am receiving. How do I do that? Make sure that what I seek is biblically sound. Make sure that the counsel I am seeking is from those who have a proven wisdom. But coupled with this, and there's only a couple things I want to see on this, but the book of Proverbs emphasizes this over and over, is that I need to seek counsel from a multitude of counselors. What does that mean? Well, first of all, the book of Proverbs emphasizes this, I need to surround myself with wise individuals as my friends, as my companions. In chapter 13 and verse 20, it says, "He who walks with wise people will be wise." Who do I need to surround myself with? I need to surround myself with wise people. That needs to be my company. If you back up one chapter into chapter 12 and verse 26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." So I not only need to surround myself with righteous individuals, I need to surround myself with wise individuals, chapter 13. I need to surround myself with righteous individuals, because if I don't, the way of the wicked is going to lead me in the wrong direction. But throughout the book of Proverbs, it's not just that I need to have one person in my camp in this regard. Throughout the book of Proverbs, we read about having a multitude of counselors that we seek wisdom from. In chapter 11 and verse 14, it says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, there is victory, there is deliverance." When I am hearing, when I am seeking advice from a multitude of individuals, chapter 15 and verse 22 says something similar. Chapter 15 verse 22, "Without counsel, plans," the New King James says, "without counsel, plans go awry. But in the multitude of counselors, our plans are established." Our plans succeed. If we're trying to figure out what's the best course of action for me to take, if we're trying to figure out, you know, I'm not really sure what I should do in this situation, the book of Proverbs would tell us, don't just ask one person. Seek wisdom, seek advice from a multitude of individuals. But not individuals that somebody might call a yes man. Not just seeking counsel from individuals that you know are going to tell you what you want to hear. "Well, I'm not going to ask that person this question because they never tell..." Well, maybe they're the person you need to ask. Because if you're going to ask a multitude of people, shouldn't you find a multitude, a variety of different kinds of folks, of people who have experienced different things in life? Because as you take in this multitude of wisdom, what's your first filter? It's got to be biblically sound. And so you can weed out, you can filter out the stuff that's not biblically sound, but it may be that in the midst of finding a multitude of counsel that you hear something you had not thought of before. Or you hear something that you needed to hear that maybe somebody else wasn't willing to tell you. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But the book of Proverbs emphasizes that as we receive counsel, that we ought to seek it from a multitude of both wise and righteous individuals who will help us to make the best decision. The fourth thing I want us to see from the book of Proverbs about receiving wise counsel is that we need to seek wise counsel with an open and an honest heart. That's hard. That's easy to put on the screen and easy to say. That is hard. It starts by accepting this. It starts by having a humble heart. And it starts by doing something that's very difficult to do sometimes, and that's listening. Is there a difference between hearing and listening? Shake your head this way. There is a difference between hearing and listening. Your husband might hear something, but he's not necessarily listening to you. Your wife might hear you say something, but she may not be listening to you. Your children may hear you say something. But have you experienced that? But they're not listening to what you say. There is a difference in that. In chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning." The last verse of that chapter, verse 33, says, "But whoever listens," this is wisdom talking again, "whoever listens to me will dwell safely." We have a responsibility to take time to listen. In chapter 22 and verse 17, let me get there, it's the right page. Chapter 22 and verse 17, it says, "Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise." And so as we think about collecting this wise counsel, we've got to take time to humble ourselves to what the Lord would have us to hear, and not just hear what's being said, but to listen to what's being said. What does that require? And here's some things that overlap a little bit, like on that previous point. This requires, as we seek to seek this counsel with an open and honest heart, it requires that we guard our hearts against thinking that our own way is the right way. In chapter 21 and verse 2, it says, "Every way of man is right." Where? In his own eyes. Every way of man is... Every person who looks at life thinks their way of looking at life is the right way. Why? Because that's their way of looking at life. You always think that your way is the right way. You always think your way of doing something is the right way of doing it. That's why you're doing it that right. If you didn't think it was the right way of doing it, you'd change. But you think that what you think and what you're doing and what you say is the book of Proverbs says that. We've got to guard ourselves against thinking that my way is always the right way. Similar to that is we've got to guard against trusting our own hearts. Because in chapter 28 and verse 26, it says, "He who trusts in his own heart," you know the rest of that, "is a fool." Well, you know, I just feel in my heart that this is the way to go. Okay. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. I've got to guard against just, well, this feels like the right thing to do. There's a way that feels right unto a man. Is that a good way to go? No, that path leads unto death. And so I need to guard against being blinded by self-confidence that my way is the right way and thinking I always have the right answers. And that's especially in chapter 14 and verse 16. I need to guard against that when I go and ask somebody for counsel or advice, I need to guard against that I'm looking for them to pat me on the back and say, you always do what's right, or to pat me and say, and to praise me. I don't need to be looking for praise. Chapter 27, verse 2 says, "Let another man praise you, not your own mouth." I don't need to be looking for praise. I don't need to go to select people who will tell me nice things about myself. That's not the kind of counsel that's necessarily going to be what's best for me. I need to be looking for an honest evaluation from my wise and righteous counsel that I've surrounded myself by. And I need to guard against that when I hear certain things, that I don't become hardened to living a righteous life. You know, sometimes people will tell us that we need to make changes. And sometimes we get so embittered against somebody telling us that we need to make changes that we harden ourselves against doing what's right. We need to make sure that as we seek wise counsel, that we have an open and an honest heart. We need to realize that wise counsel may not always agree with us. Maybe that's why it's wise, because it's not agreeing with where we are on something. And so we've got to have an open and honest heart. That starts with humility. It starts with listening to what's being said. It requires that we guard our hearts against some of these things, but it also requires that when somebody tells us something, that we honestly consider the wisdom that is being offered Maybe especially if it's something we don't want to hear. When we hear something we don't want to hear, what do we generally do with it? Well, forget that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Well, maybe we need to take a moment and to think it through. Maybe we need to go through a process of, let me think, you know, what if I followed that path? Is it biblically sound, first of all? But would that help me at the end of the day? And so as I do this, here's some things for us to think about. As we think about honestly considering what somebody tells us, we need to consider carefully the wounds of a friend. Chapter 27, verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." You know, your friends may not always be the ones who tell you that you're always doing what's right. Your friends may be the ones who come along and use the word we looked at, especially this morning, help to instruct you and to correct you in your path. Verse 17 of that same chapter says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Do you want your friends to help to sharpen you? Well, that might require iron. It might require tough love. It may require some hard words that maybe you're not ready to hear, but maybe we need to consider carefully the wounds of a friend and accept that with an open and an honest heart. We also need to consider carefully perhaps the rebukes that we receive. Sometime, just get a concordance and look up the word rebuke in the book of Proverbs. It's there a lot. Think about what this says. Chapter 15, last part of chapter 15, verses 31 and 32. "The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise, but he who disdains instruction despises his own soul." I don't want to hear what you've got to say. You despise your own soul. "But he who heeds rebuke gets understanding." That needs to be me. I need to be seeking for counsel that can help me to be a better person. In chapter 9, the last part of verse 8, the last part of chapter 9 of verse 8 says, "Rebuke a wise man." And what's he going to do? "Rebuke a wise man and he will love you." We don't think that. We think, I don't want to be rebuked. I don't want to be told what to do to change. If you're wise and you receive rebuke, you'll love the person for what they said. First part of verse 9 says, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser." Our responsibility is to consider what somebody else has to say to us, even if it's not something we'd like to hear. The last part of chapter 19, verse 25 says, "Rebuke one who has understanding, who wants to hear it, and he will gain knowledge." If we hear something we don't want to hear, maybe we need to take time to consider it. Sometimes as preachers, you receive criticism that you don't want to hear. And the easy thing to do as a preacher, "Well, I don't want to hear that, and I'm not going to listen to it." But I was told by a number of wiser preachers for many years, even in criticism that you may not want to hear, you better think about it. You better look at it. There may be, and you may think that's the dumbest thing that somebody's ever said to me. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're not a preacher. They don't know what's involved. And these individuals, wiser than I, have told me, you better listen. Even if the majority of what they say is not true, there may be an element of truth in there that you need to grab a hold of and to take. Is that true for all of us? Somebody criticizes us, "I'm not going to listen to you. That's not very nice." Is it possible there is an element of truth in what they say? You discard the rest of it, but is it possible there's something in there that I needed to hear to become a better person? And so in this considering carefully what others tell me, I need to consider carefully some corrections that individuals may tell me I need to engage in. In chapter 12 and verse 1, "Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge." The last part of the verse says, "But he who hates correction is stupid." That's not a word you're supposed to say, right? The Bible says it. Put that in this context. If I don't like it when somebody comes along and instructs me or tries to correct me, God says, I don't love knowledge and instead I'm stupid. I ought to listen to what somebody else has to say to me and see if there's any element of help within it. In chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. May that not be us. If I'm going to be one who takes in what somebody says with wise counsel and receive it in the way that the book of Proverbs says to do it, I need to do it with an open and an honest heart. Very quickly, let me share with you these last thoughts. I need to seek wise counsel with a willingness to act. I need to be willing to apply what somebody says to my heart. That's where it starts. Before I apply it to my actions, I need to be able to listen to what somebody says and apply that wisdom that comes from them to my heart. I need to consider what they say and see what steps, if this is the way I need to go, if that's the direction I need to take, what are some steps I need to take in order to accomplish that? And there's some great verses here. I'm not going to take time to look at all of those, but I hope you'll write them down. And if I have done something wrong and somebody brings that to my attention, instead of scoffing at it, and this is throughout the Bible, you know, but here's one passage in the book of Proverbs that says it. Instead of scoffing at what somebody says, I need to be one who would confess. The end of chapter 28, verse 13 says, whoever confesses and forsakes his sins will have mercy. If I've done something wrong, somebody brings that to my attention, I just need to say, you know what? You're right. I have. And I need to forsake that. I need to say, I need to get away from that and not try to just, boy, here's the easy thing. Boy, this is so human, isn't it? As I'm confessing and as I'm forsaking to justify what I was doing. Isn't that so? I mean, I find myself, you know, somebody brings something to my attention and I say, well, you're right, but here's why I did it. It doesn't matter why I did it. If I was wrong and I shouldn't have done it, then the proper response is, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, I shouldn't do that, and I'm making corrections instead of trying to justify why I was doing it. There's no justification if I was wrong. And so I think we do it sometimes to try to soothe ourselves and make it not so bad. But if I'm in the wrong, I need to say, you know what, I'm in the wrong. Last thing on here is that the action I need to take when somebody brings me counsel. And you know, sometimes when somebody brings me counsel, we've talked tonight about I'm seeking counsel from somebody else. Has anybody ever offered you unsolicited counsel? Anybody ever offered you unsolicited wisdom? You did not go seeking it, but they brought it anyway. Guess what? That's not bad. Guess what? The Bible tells us to do that sometimes. So we think, oh, that's not, I didn't ask you for your opinion. Well, okay. But I need to run it through all of these same filters. Even if it's unsolicited, I need to run it through. Is this biblically sound? Is this person a person of proven wisdom? Can I balance this out against other individuals in my multitude of counselors that I've surrounded myself with? And I need to hear what they say, even if I didn't want to hear it, with an open and honest heart. And then I need to pray about it. And when I put pray about it here, it's not I need to say one prayer about it and then I'm done. I need to pray about it. I need to talk to God about it today. I need to talk to God about it tomorrow and to continue to do so. Why? Because I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart and I am not leaning on my understanding. In chapter 30 and verse 5, it says that God is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. I need to spend time praying about it and allow God, through His providence, to help me to apply whatever I need to apply. I said at the beginning and the end of this morning's sermon, I meant to say at the beginning of tonight's sermon and forgot. I said at the beginning and the end of this morning's sermon that these are the kind of sermons that are easy to listen to and to say, you know, I hope so-and-so was paying attention to that. They really needed to hear that tonight. And that may be true. There may be a so-and-so that really needed to hear this lesson. But the first so-and-so that needed to hear it tonight was me, was you. That's where the application starts. And so I would plead with you. Instead of thinking, wow, you know, this was great. I hope that she was paying attention. I hope that he heard every word that was said. First of all, we've got to apply it to ourselves and make sure that we are putting into practice these biblical principles. These are not notes that David put together. I said this morning that when I was thinking over the last several weeks about these, it was supposed to be one lesson, ended up being two lessons. But thinking about how do we receive and how do we give wise counsel, I made my own list of things. I thought, forget that. That doesn't matter. My thoughts don't matter. And to get in the book of Proverbs, let these biblical principles rise to the surface and say, that's the counsel we need, because chapter 21 and verse 30 says, there is no wisdom, there is no understanding, there is no counsel that succeeds against the Lord. That's where it's got to start. It's easy to say, somebody else needs this. It's harder to say, I needed this. And perhaps you have heard this morning's lesson, and perhaps you've heard tonight's lesson, and you've thought, wow, you know what? David could have just come and talked to me privately. He didn't have to get up and preach a whole stinking two sermons right at me. Haven't been preaching at anybody specifically this morning or tonight. Nobody has been in my heart, in my mind, in preparation and hoping they would be here. You know, there's a lot of times as preachers, sometimes you're thinking, here's a sermon that this person needs to hear. And usually it's a guest, a visitor that you're trying to get them to obey the gospel. And you think this is the sermon that's going to get them to obey the gospel. You know how many times I've prepared those kind of sermons and that person wasn't there that Sunday to hear that sermon. You're like, okay, well, that didn't work out. No specific people on minds and hearts in preparation of this, other than all of us as children of God, to do what we can to be better listeners, better hearers and receivers of wise counsel, and to be more godly in our giving of wise counsel to others. Are we good at receiving the wisdom of God? May God help us to be better at that. Are we good at receiving His wisdom when it comes to what do we need to do in order to get our lives right with Him? You know, there's a lot of human wisdom about what man needs to do in order to be saved. Human wisdom's not going to get you saved. You can go and ask a bunch of preachers what you need to do to get yourself saved. That's not going to get you saved. You can write to a bunch of churches and say, what do I need to do in order to be saved? That's not what's going to get you saved. It's only heavenly wisdom. It's only the wisdom that God's given to us in His Word that if we follow that, that's what will save us. And it's heavenly wisdom that teaches us that we need to believe that Jesus is God's Son, to repent of the wrong, the sins that are in our lives, to confess the faith that's in our hearts, to be baptized for the remission of all of our sins. Allow the blood of Jesus to remove every sin we've ever committed against our God. Allow Him to add us to His church, to register our names in heaven, and to follow Him faithfully. Are you a faithful Christian tonight? If you're not, then allow this to be the opportunity where you get your life right with the Lord right now, as together we stand and sing.